Good afternoon, and welcome to Autogrill Full Year 2016 Financial Results Conference Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. Mr. Gian Mario Tondato, Chief Executive Officer, is going to chair the meeting. Please, sir, go ahead.
Good afternoon, and welcome to our call for the full year result 2016 for Autogrill. We delivered a strong result for 2016, which I hope you have seen in our new format video that we posted online earlier today with the presentation. In addition, as you know, our investor relations function has been driven very successfully for a number of years by Elisabetta Cugnasca. Elisabetta brought huge passion, enthusiasm, expertise to the role. I'm sure you enjoyed working with her. Now, Elisabetta has been promoted to a different position. She will be the head of the group controlling as part of her continued development within the group. At the same time, Lorenza Rivabene has taken charge of the investor relations department, building on her experience in Autogrill, as well as in the same role for another listed company, and on her strong background in strategic planning and control function. I am sure I will find your dialogue and exchanges with Lorenza and her team positive, engaging, and fruitful. Now, Alberto, Lorenza, and I will be taking your questions.
Thanks, Gian Mario, and good afternoon. Before we get started, we want to emphasize that some of the information discussed in this call contain forward-looking statements that involve risk and uncertainty. Actual results may differ materially from those set forth in such statements. For a discussion of these risks and uncertainties, you should review the disclaimer in the earnings presentation we issued today. Now, we are available to take your questions. Thank you.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. The first question comes from Tim Rezvan from Credit Suisse.
Good afternoon, guys. Just one key question from me, really, I suppose, or maybe a couple of sub-questions. Just related to the guidance that you've given today around, you know, your 2016 to 2019 growth expectations. My questions are twofold. One is, why did you come to the conclusion that you needed to sort of introduce that guidance? I know that's new, so I'd be interested to sort of see why you've chosen to frame it that way. The second question is, obviously there's, you know, clear the guidance on the top line is clear, but in terms of the drivers between the top line growth and the EPS growth, maybe just some sense as to what you believe the kind of margin improvement ought to be over the three-year period to deliver the 15% compound earnings growth, please. Thank you.
Okay. For the reason why behind the decision of having a guidance unfolding 3 years instead of only 1 year, because we have been able to consolidate our growth during last years, thanks to contract win renewals that allow us to increase the portfolio. And obviously, we think that only three-year period is the right period in order to really enable also us to deliver the value that is behind this growth. Otherwise, a single year probably is not giving the full picture. That's why we think that an overall guidance based on the CAGR that is giving a sort of trend is useful for allowing investors to understand the value creation. Also in terms of the KPIs, we think that sales is obvious. We are a company, a retailing company, so sales are very important for giving us an indication about the value that is created by the portfolio. The EPS is because ultimately we think that you have to find a KPI in terms of profitability. I think that when you look to the bottom line, you have everything there. So we think that probably this is the best indicator, and also because we have introduced a dividend policy, giving a guidance on EPS is also allowing investors to build up their views about the dividend in the next 3 years. So these are the main reasons why we have decided for these two KPIs. In terms of what is in between the top line and the bottom line, I think that the main trends are there. So I don't expect in the next 3 years you will see a completely different picture. Our main target remain the same, that is to make growth and profitability in North America, to have a sustained growth in international, and to be mainly efficient in Europe, in continental Europe. So the trend will go to the trend of the underlying margins will go together with the trend of the sales. Then obviously we are really looking for a global improvement also of the margins, but I think that we are really focused at the moment to deliver growth on the top line and the growth in profits. That also is a growth in free cash flow.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Cecchini Alessandro from Equita.
Hello, everybody. I have some questions. The first one is about if you could give us a sort of more color about maybe margins in the U.S. for this year, 2017, considering labor costs and current food prices. So your expectation, your idea at the current stage. My second question is about if you could give us some indication about of the start of the year in terms of top line, like for like. And finally, I saw margins in the U.S., in the North America division, all the well in the fourth quarter. I would like to understand if you experienced some differences, some different actions versus the third quarter. Thank you.
So in terms of the margins in North America for 2017, I think that in 2016 what you have seen is the main cost driver that we had to manage was the increase in the labor cost that was particularly strong, especially in the second and third quarter. Because of several aspects. The main aspect is of minimum wage, and minimum wage has a reflect, because although we pay more than the minimum wage, we have to keep the differential, and so ultimately we have seen our unit cost going up. In last quarter, you were mentioning in your question what has been done in the last quarter that is showing, in fact, an improvement, is because once the increase has been done, then you start building up the efficiency, and this is what's been done. We are introducing new tools in order to manage the hours more effectively at the level of the stores, that we expect to continue to help us also for 2017, and that will be the main driver. We don't expect that we will see the labor cost pressure disappearing in 2017, because beside the minimum wage, the other element that is driving the cost of labor is the full employment, and the full employment is there also today. But obviously, we think that we have now also new tools in place to manage. Excuse me, is there someone that is speaking, because we listen to a person that is speaking, but we don't understand a word. So I think that these are the main elements. On the other elements that are part of the cost structure of the company, I think that in 2016 the cost of goods sold has been supportive for us. We have been able to increase margins because of the evolution of the trend of in materials. We don't see at the moment a reversal of that, so conditions remain relatively positive. So at the end, I think that the picture for 2017, at least at this opening of the year, is positive.
Okay.
The next question comes from Jaafar Mestari of JP Morgan.
Hi, good afternoon. I just had one question back on the revenue growth guidance. Could you maybe break it down a little bit, and in particular, to achieve your organic growth target range, what sort of net new business contribution from contract wins do you need every year, please?
I think that we have given the indication of the growth in of organic, that is the sum of like for like and opening and closure, exactly because it's very difficult on a 3-year guidance to split between the two. I think that on average we think that because of the pipeline we have and the present situation that we envisage that can be sustainable, I think that these are the main drivers. So we don't expect, in order to achieve that number, to see things completely different than what they are today. And we think that the pipeline will be supportive for us to confirm the guidance. Just another element, I think that in general, as you may have seen, the guidance has been given with a forecast on exchange rate of 106, and the impact of the exchange rate on the first year, because then on the other 2 years is not anymore there, because the 106 is for the 3 years, is approximately 70 basis points. So in fact, this is the impact that the per year. So if you want to have the same guidance at constant exchange rate, you have to deduct around 70 basis points after that.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Bastianelli Oriana from Kairos.
Hi, good afternoon to everybody. I have a couple of questions. The first one is if you can kindly elaborate on the priorities in terms of capital allocation down the road. I'm asking because if my projections are correct, you should land with a leverage of below 1x at the end of the plan. So if you can also elaborate a bit on the optimal leverage that you see for your business. This is the first one. The second is related to if you can provide me with a bit more granularity on the assumptions below the EBITDA line in terms of cost of debt, depreciation and tax rate that you are assuming in your 15% compounded annual growth rate in net profit. Thank you.
Well, with respect to ideal leverage, you're right that if we expand only organically and we don't do anything else, so we arrive to a leverage that is quite low and probably inefficient. So I do agree that the trend that we see, the trend that will build up some room for expansion also on non-organic base, that is so there is room for also using the cash in order to expand the business. This obviously cannot be included in a guidance because it has to be evaluated if there were the right opportunity and these right opportunity are. But in principle, you are right that we would arrive to well below 1x in terms of leverage. And we think that if the company is in the range of two times the leverage, is already in a very quite solid situation in terms of leverage ratio. So there is a room for us to other things. On other aspect, I think that in general what we expect is we try to make to give guidance based on a few parameters. Then obviously inside there is the full P&L and there are a lot of assumptions in terms of capital expenditure and so on. I don't think that there are tremendous changes in, for instance, the capital incidence of the business. So in the next 3 years, so in principle, you may expect that in terms of DNA, for instance, to see a progression of the DNA that is in line with what you see today, and ultimately, in a model, in a 5 year model, you should have depreciation that are more or less in line with the capex of the year. So there are not so a huge difference between the two numbers. On tax rate, you said about the cost of the debt. You know that at the moment the majority of our debt is fixed rate and it is in private placement instrument. This is not going to change the variable part. So at the end, after years in which we probably were not completely efficient, if there is an increase in interest rates in the next years in U.S., we would be to some extent, we wouldn't reflect it in our cost of debt because it's already there. So I think that at the moment, our average interest rate cost of debt is in the range of 4%, and we still may see a decline because of the composition. There is part of the facilities that will expire in 2017. That are the most expensive, and this will allow us to show some decline, but and not a major change with what you see today.
Okay, can I ask you just a comment on the tax rate, please?
On the tax rate, the change you see in 2016 compared to 2015 is basically a non-cash item because it is determined by the fact that in 2015 we booked for a deferred tax asset in Italy, and for that reason we saw a particularly low in tax rate for the year at the group level. So I think that if you look to the tax rate of today of 2016, it is a good proxy of what we expect in the next 3 years. Obviously, the guidance that we gave you, the 15% increase in EPS, is not including any tax reform in U.S. So it's not including the possibility that the tax rate in U.S. may go down. In that case, obviously, we would reflect in a positive way. But it's not there at the moment in the guidance.
Okay, sorry, just a follow-up. On the dividend distribution to minorities, I have seen a significant jump this year versus last year. Can you please elaborate a bit from where this distribution is going and what we should expect for the future?
Are you referring to 2016 versus 15?
Yes, there is, I guess, around 10 million of dividend distribution to minorities in 16 versus 15. Just wondering where it comes from.
Yeah, because that amount is a net amount. That is an amount done by dividend paid to our minority partners minus capital contribution. So the fact that the underlying dividend are not that different, but last year we had a different amount of capital increase done by our minority partners.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
The next question comes from Ali Naqvi from HSBC Bank.
Close enough. Ali Naqvi from HSBC. Just had three questions, if I may. On the Italian motorways, I thought the trend.
Ali, sorry. The line is not that good, so we cannot hear you.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, that is better. Thank you.
Hi, Ali Naqvi from HSBC. Just on the Italian motorway trends, I thought we were seeing some market growth there coming up towards the second half of the year. Could you just comment on that? And because I think like-for-likes were flat going on to the full year and how you see that progressing. Also, in the US, what are the competitive pressures like? Are you seeing more operators going out for new contracts or renewals and any sort of thoughts there? And finally, looking to your strategy in Northern Europe.
Ali, sorry, we cannot hear you again. If you want to with the question, and I will, because we cannot hear you.
Okay, all right. I'll hold off for now. Thanks.
Thank you.
There are no more questions at this time. I remind you that to ask a question, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from Bacoccoli Luca from Banca IMI.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. A couple of questions from my side as well. The first one is on the net working capital trend, which basically did not contribute at all to the cash flow generation this year, despite the top line growth. And you mentioned the different sourcing policy in 2016. So I was wondering if you can elaborate a little bit more on that and what should we expect going forward from the net working capital trend. My second question is on the Obamacare cost, which you mentioned in the third quarter of 2016 as one of the main driver on the labor cost increase. You know better than me that this is one topic under discussion from the new president in the U.S., which should be completely dismantled. And so my question is, what should we expect in terms of savings if the Obamacare system is going to be basically canceled? Thank you.
Well, on working capital this year compared to last year, yes, basically are really seasonal impact. There are not an underlying motivation. The last year we had a slightly different trend of purchases, especially in Italy, and that this year we have followed a different path. And the reason is that at the end of the year, we have a lower contribution of the working capital. But in general, you are right that our business, when you see top line growth, you should see also an improvement in working capital. This year has not happened because of a seasonal effect, but I wouldn't see a special motivation. There is not any significant change in the way we behave with our suppliers, for instance. With respect to the Obamacare, consider that in fact the Obamacare has been affecting our cost of labor not only in the third quarter. I would say that in fact in the third quarter was not particularly important, or better saying, was as important as the increase in the unit cost that has been driven by low unemployment, minimum wage, and what I mentioned in one of the previous answers. It has been the combination of these two impacts altogether in the same quarter that created the big jump in the cost of labor of the third quarter. But Obamacare was there also in the previous 6 months and also in 2015. We don't know obviously how the new administration will change the law, and we will see. Obviously, we may expect some benefit, but it's really very early and a bit too early to say which will be the impact of the new administration on the labor cost on the restaurant industry.
Okay, thank you.
There are no more questions at this time.
Okay, thank you so much for your time today. Feel free to call me should you need any further information. Thank you.
The conference is now concluded. You may now disconnect your lines.